offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this destination I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi savaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
As you're sitting, using the breath as an assistance to keep your attention anchored here in the present moment, feeling the breath as it enters your body, fills your body, and as it leaves, counting at the bottom of the exhalation. Checking in periodically with your posture. Are your shoulders relaxed? Your spine nice and straight? Crown of your head pushing up, your chin slightly tucked, and your eyes cast down. thoughts to be there. As you keep the attention on the breath, not needing to engage with them in any way, either push them away or getting involved. Just simply keeping the attention on the breath, counting at the bottom of each exhalation. Just breathing, just noticing. Nothing to do, nowhere to get. Thank you.
We are here to end suffering. If any suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
As we prepare for a brief bow, this is a good time to check if your leg is falling asleep. If it has, you can just stay in a seated position. If you'd like to get yourself a back deck back in the corner for during the group discussion, you're welcome to do that now. Discussion to talk about whatever people are seeing in their practice. And since, as we like to say, everything is practice, that leaves it pretty wide open. So what should we look at this morning?
I had an experience that caught my attention, which is normally when I see conditioning, there's quite a bit of heaviness to the thing because there's a significant amount of suffering. Mm-hmm. And I saw it with lightness.
All right.
Yeah, so I want to share about that, which is I was going for a drive in my car to, you know, like 20 minutes and gathering the things I needed. And I passed by my recorder and the voice said, "Oh, you won't want to listen to that in the car." And I was all the way driving and I thought, that's exactly what I want to listen to it. And I cracked up laughing because it was so lame. Uh-huh. You know? Uh-huh. And it was so fun. Uh-huh. So then the next day when I was doing that same drive, I had my recorder and laughed about the whole thing. And it's actually a really neat time for listening because there's no pressure. You know, I'm not doing,
yeah.
You know, it's not high pressure driving. It's,
yeah, you can give most of your attention to listening to the recording.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And, but what I want to do more of is, or, you know, set an intention of seeing it with that kind of lightness.
Yeah. And do you have a sense of what was different? Why were you able to see it with lightness when you usually see it with heaviness or?
Well, no, but I have been saying more like laughing at resistance and laughing like, oh yeah, of course there it is.
Yeah.
You know, the next, of course there it's going to be to get me to do this or not to do that and mm-hmm. can count on it. So
yeah.
It could be just that I was looking at it in that context and mm-hmm. it was another example of that.
Yeah. Well, and what I hear in that, laughing at the resistance is, it's not personal to you. It's just, that's what resistance is. Conditioning resists practice, you're practicing. So there it is, it's just doing it, and yeah. It doesn't mean anything about you.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Right, it wasn't personal.
Mm-hmm. It's way more fun to take it lightly than that.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing that was interesting about what you said is, that in that lightness, what was available to you is, you know what, I think next time I want to make a different choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the next time I go on a drive, I really want to bring the reporter with me.
Well, not even as direct as that, it's more like, oh yeah, right. Like how you like how little kids want candy all the time. Oh yeah, of course you do. But not, it doesn't even require a direct response, mm-hmm. the way you're pointing at, because it's a bit of a ludicrous statement, so why not have a silly reaction response to it? And then all of that there just makes more space for the separation to not be that, to just see it and create more lightness.
The separation to not have to be it, but to just be able to see it instead of being it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really the fundamental movement of practice, isn't it?
It is. And then, you know, conditioning is also, just to not be too Pollyannish about this, conditioning is also right there. Then with the lightness that's created, going, okay, I'm going to stick with this lightness.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the, you know, exact route down to... Oh, who needs to record, you know, oh, I don't like to take that, you don't need to take that in the car. Right. I mean, it's going right there. Well, then the heaviness is, now that I've identified, spoken about the lightness, I think it will work harder.
To close that door.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it'll be much, much bigger than, oh, you don't want to listen to that in the car.
Yeah. Great motivation to keep paying attention, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Joan.
Yeah, I have a question about meditation itself. I seem to have read or heard many different kind of views of it,
mm-hmm.
in this practice. I heard on the radio, one of the radio shows recently, Sherry was saying that something to the effect of you shouldn't meditate until you've finished suffering.
Self-hate and...
And when you practice at home, you know, only do as much as you're comfortable doing, because you don't want to make it a contest.
Right.
But I definitely felt like I was having a contest with myself here,
mm-hmm.
just now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not sure exactly what my question is, except I guess I'm trying to figure out what the right way to meditate is, given
uh-huh.
it seems like a different...
the different input.
I'm hearing different things.
Well, there's so many things about that, and then we can hear from, because we have quite a panel of experts in the room. But one thing that was interesting that occurred to me as you were saying, you know, you were having quite a battle here, is it's really very helpful to learn, deepen, to practice meditation here at the monastery, because it's in a particular context where we can all look at it, we can talk about it, we can check in about it. It's like, you know, sort of a training camp, if you will, where, you know, we go out on the field and we each practice our skills, and then we come back and we do the drills and we talk about it and that sort of thing. And so that's really the benefit of, we have two meditation periods in this particular retreat, and that's really the reason why, is so we can have the experience and it can be in that context of really looking at it. Because, as you've caught on to, you know, conditioning, self-hate, is going to have a relationship with meditation practice because you've started one.
This was physical pain in my leg, so I wasn't sure what to do with it, because it was very absorbing.
Yeah. Well, and on that, some of the practical level, as we said, we will have a chance later today to check in on some of those sorts of things. But I think it's really interesting that, you know, what you're looking at in terms of your own practice at home. And when you were hearing that discussion on the radio show, what have you seen about your own practice at home and kind of the different views that you're hearing?
Well, I realize I'm very much into rules and regulations, so I feel a bit confused about what I should be doing.
Uh-huh.
So should I be doing this 5 minutes or, you know, 20 minutes or not at all? Or So recently I haven't been meditating like the last week, whereas I was, you know, previously. All this stuff is swirling.
Yeah, and actually, that's kind of the point, isn't it? Is that process it sounds like that following regulations is a process that happens for you in your life in general.
Yeah.
And so to get to see that is really the main point. Mm. And that's a ton of what we're going to look at this week is, you know, it's the title of one of Sherry's books, How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. And so whatever our sort of main deal is, that's going to show up, pop up everywhere. Of course it's going to pop up in meditation. So, I mean, the good news is there's no wrong way to do it, truly. You know, and for most of us, it's like, right, no wrong way to do it. Sure. But let me try to get the right way to do it, right? But what we get to see in that process is all the ways that conditioning is causing us to suffer through the process of trying to find the right way to do it. And the sitting down and being still and being quiet starts to be one of our best avenues for watching that. Because it's very tricky to be able to watch a process like that, you know, at work or with our family or, you know, sort of our day-to-day activities, because there's so many factors, there's so many distractions swirling around that it can be tricky to tease out the process from the content. Mm-hmm. And sitting down, being still, facing a blank white wall, we have a much better chance at actually being able to see the process of what's happening. Mm-hmm. That kind of speaks to it. Mm-hmm. And meditation will be a big thing we're looking at all week, so.
Well, it's pretty interesting. Yesterday I was in the kitchen and I was approached and told that I would be in this retreat this week. And so, wow, I felt so much gratitude and say thank you. And they said, go get ready for the retreat. Oh, boy, I'm going to go take a shower and get ready for the retreat. But no more than 15 minutes after I was told that, I'm going to get my shower bag and that, it started in. Oh, here you go again. You know, go in the classroom, and the reason you're going on this retreat is because you need it more than the others. They know that you're not doing a very good job, so you're going to get
this meaning campaign begins.
Yeah. So anyway, I started taking that on, and I'm like, oh, and I noticed that the sensation is just, it turned from really nice to yucky.
Yeah.
And so I've been mentoring pretty nonstop, you know, since that time up till this point. And I had a talk with Stevie B last Sunday down at the creek.
Uh-huh.
A long time we're doing boat races in the creek. You know, uh-huh.
So you're taking that little guy inside of you by the hand.
Oh, yeah.
And you're assisting him through this attempted onslaught. Self-hate is coming at him with all this stuff.
Yeah,
and
right.
And you're kind of helping him through that.
Yes. And so I told him down at the creek that, you know, we're probably going to have another opportunity to be in a class some other time. And so, you know, I'll be with you hand in hand. If you feel like going in, you can go in. If not, you can stay outside and play.
Uh-huh.
And here it is, the opportunity a week later. So this is what needs to be looked at and mentored and healed is presenting itself in this form.
Boy.
Yeah, there are no accidents, no mistakes, nothing wrong.
And there's the gratitude, isn't it?
Yeah, now I have so much gratitude. I mean, I know it's going to pop up again, and unless he just stands tall and strong and be there for him.
Yeah, you know, it's very wise and very kind, it seems, how life offers us what we're ready for.
Yes.
So here's this, again, process, like we were just looking at with someone else a moment ago, that for you is very common, this sort of torture, suffering that can happen in a, quote, classroom situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're really ready to look at that. And so up comes the opportunity to do that.
Right. Yeah, enough's enough. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes.
We're way overdue. We have fear of going into the classroom.
Yeah, because when we're ready for it, now is good. You know,
now
why put
perfect.
It off?
Yeah.
Right? Because there can be that sense of, this is too hard, I don't want to do that, maybe later, I'm sure I'll face it later. But when we know, when we have just that intuitive sense, I'm ready, let's do it.
Yes.
Now is good.
What better opportunity than right here.
Right
at
here.
The
right
show.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. I have been looking at another way of kind of being light with conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And it the way I described it was just losing interest in it. I just noticed on a couple days ago, I had a day where I was beginning to get identified with all my stories, you know, and I don't like this, or I wish that wasn't, or, and I, for some, well, I don't know, probably because I've been practicing, but somehow all of a sudden I just said, yeah, right, and I don't really care. You know, I mean, it was like the story didn't stop, but it was just, it was like, I was just seeing it as sort of a metaphor for it is, you know, when I go on the internet and I'm on some page with a lot of headlines and stories, most of it actually doesn't interest me.
Right.
And I just thought, actually, that's true of most of what goes on in my mind.
Yeah. You know? Well, and that's such a good point. It, truly, when we're just here, mm-hmm. kind of in the present moment, really none of it interests us.
Right. Yeah.
But then there's that fundamental confusion that happens mm-hmm. where I forget, or you know, whatever it is that happens in that, and I actually think that's
right.
me.
Right.
I don't want to do that. I don't like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
suddenly I'm interested in all
exactly.
this garbage on the internet page.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's exactly, you know, it's like if I'm standing there washing the dishes and I go, I don't want to wash the dishes, and I am somehow invested in not wanting to wash the dishes, mm-hmm. then there's a lot of suffering in it.
Yeah.
But if it's just I hear I don't want to wash the dishes, I can say, well, great, fine, you know,
yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah. And it's not in that kind of, I don't hear of pushing someone's experience aside, like,
right.
you know, wash
right.
the dishes anyway,
right.
you know,
no.
it's not that kind
no.
of a thing.
Mm-mm.
It's a really losing interest in the conversation
yes.
that the only purpose is to cause you suffering.
Exactly.
Because you, there are the dishes, you're going to do them.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point in having a conversation about, I don't want to do the dishes?
Right, right.
And then often when the conversation falls away, the experience of doing the dishes
is interesting.
It's no problem.
Yeah.
Might even like it.
That's right. I was going to say, by losing interest in the stories, actually life then is more interesting.
Way more interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's another good point, because often we think without the stories life would be boring or drab or
mm-hmm.
but not so at all. The stories are the same loops that go round and round and round, and the monotony is in that.
Yeah.
The splendor and the glory is in losing interest in that and just being here in life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Conditioning actually tried that, sort of said, well, then you just lose interest in life, and you know.
And that's when we say, well, I'm not
I would say, you just, that's right.
Yeah.
No, only your life.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. There we go.
Thank you. So, this is my first day of the retreat, and I'm pleasantly blown away at the significance of being here in a facility and in a group that discounts the personality.
Mm.
It's the first time I've had the privilege of that experience.
Wow.
Silence is wonderful, beautiful, nature, these are all my ways. I have always been outside in nature for chunks of time.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been in a place that does not cater to personality.
Mm.
And what's come up out of that in just one night here has been fairly, I don't even know how to describe it. Just, first of all, this, I see that in society it is built to cater to the personality.
Yeah.
And it is built to cater to that which causes suffering.
Yes.
And it encourages the voice. So there's this sub-personality that came up today. I've never seen a sub-personality or understood it until this morning.
Wow.
And they were sort of lined up in a little meeting. and it was fascinating. And then, wow, look what you're doing. And then, well, what are you doing? And then, well, wait, there's this other thing. And so I got this middle ground that I call now. And it's this me that's not the sub-personality that can just quietly watch and breathe. So then the group got a little bigger. I found this all just fascinating. And I have this basic three personalities that are going on right now. Mm-hmm. This one that's incredibly excited. Mm-hmm. And like overwhelmingly excited at the opportunity to see what's held without personality. Uh-huh. And this terrified being that has no idea how to handle mm-hmm. something quite that large.
Sure.
And then this very quiet middle ground. So I've been lucky enough to say, oh, you're there. Ah, just breathe right into the middle mm-hmm. and catch myself. Mm-hmm. And I hope to keep catching myself. Because mm-hmm. it feels miraculous. Mm-hmm. And so I thank you all mm-hmm. for this opportunity to be here without personality mm-hmm. and realize what it takes on your part to be so aware, to not care to my personality. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful not to be kicking and screaming.
No, lest we fall down on our job. There's still plenty of time. And in fact, we often like to say towards the beginning of the retreat, and now's a good time, that resistance is part of the deal. You know, it's already come up this morning, people have talked about it. And that what you're seeing, what you're laying out, is something you know, from conditioning's point of view, you never should see. Right? You're getting a glimpse of what it is to just live, to just be here in the present moment, just as a manifestation of life, or however you want to talk about that, whatever language makes sense to you. And that is a place where egocentric karmic conditioning doesn't live. It actually doesn't have a life there. And so it will do everything it can do. And it will throw everything it can at you. And actually, it's perfect, because that's what the retreat is designed for. That. It's designed for us to get a look at what are all those things that are creating all of that drama and all of that suffering in our lives? And as people have alluded to, it's very tricky to see it when we're just going around in our world. And so you're having an experience of, why do we call it the privileged environment? That's why. It's an enormous privilege, isn't it? Mm-hmm. To have that completely, essentially what it is it's the flip-flop, like you said, out in the world, everything supports the ego. Everything supports distraction. In a place like this, everything supports the heart. So the tables are completely turned. And we have the opportunity to actually feel what it feels like to live from that, and then to watch everything that conditioned mind will do or does to attempt to take that away from us, to pull us back into its world.
That's one that's a little scary.
Yes. And, it's back to what we were looking at with Steve, talking about being down at the creek with Stevie B. Because there's a place where there are little parts of us for whom this is going to seem really scary, because they're the ones who always habitually have been left to receive the self-hatred. Everyone else, all the bigger people who could deal with that sort of veil, if you will. And there's this little person left with all the big, scary, it's going to be awful, and like that. And so that's another big part of the retreat, is how do we, as sort of the grown-up, the centered being, care for those little parts of ourselves and not leave them alone, not actually ever leave them in a place where they have to be the victim, if you will, of that self-hatred, the recipient.
It seems like those little parts are so well trained.
Say more.
well trained to I think that I would word it that they have been so conditioned.
Yes.
And they've been so well trained to survive and distract
yes.
and be needy and mm-hmm. whole
mm-hmm.
and be present.
Yeah.
It's, they've been, I think my sadness that arises is that those parts have been more well trained from the get-go. And the beginning of life,
mm-hmm.
then the middle ground, and feeling that and seeing it is—I had the same experience when I was watching how much the critic speaks,
mm-hmm.
and how shifty it is, how it changes when you're onto it,
mm-hmm.
and then watching how we all have that all mm-hmm. in the world, and seeing it's actually. Beautiful and sad to see at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because we have this place that's, in my circumstance, not as well trained as the other ones.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the big guy is very happy to be here. Or the middle one. The big guy.
Yeah. And again, you're touching on an important piece of the work that will happen this week, which is teasing out. What is a little person who actually is a little person? And those little people will respond to our kindness and our unconditional love and will be very happy to drop all that conditioning like that and just be here in happiness and well-being. And then we'll get to find out what isn't that? What is just conditioned mind, egocentric karmic conditioning wanting to cause suffering, and it won't drop that. It will want to stay in that camp, and that's, we'll begin to see those two things too. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is also my first day of the retreat, and I just want to put this out there, and I'm sure it will sound familiar. I was aware at breakfast this morning already how I am, it's my fear that's coming up.
Uh-huh.
So I'm already aware of worrying about a week from now when I go back home.
Yep.
How am I going to do this and how am I going to do that? Oh my gosh, how will I maintain this? And so.
And I'm guessing that process is familiar to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, look into the future. I'm trying to figure it out and control it and protect myself and
mm-hmm.
all that goes along with that. I suspect is
yeah.
what's rocking around.
So again, in one sense, it sounds funny, but we could say, oh, thank goodness that came with me. Because that's what I came here to see.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If the way it worked was we came on retreat and it was, oh, just very peaceful and quiet and the voices went away and got to just be in nature and eat our lovely food and come to group discussions and be just, you know, all of those things. It would be lovely, right? It would be a lovely 8 days, but not terribly useful in terms of our day-to-day lives and bringing our lives into practice. Yeah?
Yeah, and see, as I say that, it's like there's that little, that little laughing part.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, there you go again.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go again. So that's some useless, worrying thought and energy.
Yeah, and a tiny language shift might be useful. To something like, oh, there it goes again.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not really you, is it? It feels so much like it is. Because we've done it for so long that it feels like me, and it just feels like what I do. I worry about the future, right? But even in, if only at first intellectually, considering it isn't me, and having that little language shift of, oh yeah, there's that worry process again.
Yes, and is it a shift to also noticing myself in the future, you know, recognizing that for what it is, and also acknowledging that, that yes, all of that will be there when I go back home.
Not to
it's like putting pressure on myself. Oh my gosh, how am I going to change all these things in my life? Well, I'm not.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And what we get to is, and there's no need to.
Yeah, it's a lot of work to do that, isn't it?
Yeah. Very, very often, a lot of what?
I can feel it.
Yeah.
I'll work hard when I get home to maintain all of this.
Yeah, yeah. Very often, spiritual practice is confused with self-improvement. And that's exactly what you're describing. That's ego's version of spiritual practice. So I project what brings people to a place like this is that there's a sense in our heart of what's possible for us. We see something else. What ego does with that is, okay, well, it's got to get on board with that in some way, right? Because it can't just leave you to go have your own life. So the way it can do that is, okay, get really on board. All right, we're going to change, we're going to be better, we're going to, and that's where that comes from. So it really makes a lot of sense where when you put that out and realize that, it begins to loosen and let go. Takes the pressure off.
So thank you for letting me loosen that a bit.
Yes, yeah. Well, and that's, you just modeled a big key of all of it, which is to put it out here. If it's in here, you know, it's just me and conditioning. You know, and it's just kind of doing its thing on me. But when we put it out here, it's so much less believable. We can see so much more about it. It's why there's a requirement to participate in the group discussions in many of the settings of the retreat, because otherwise we can't have the full benefit of the work.
Thank you.
So. I noticed this morning that I was hooked and didn't get past one today. Uh-huh. This happens sometimes, but it was interesting being here because the structure kind of soothes my rule-following, slightly OCD.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, oh, I'm here, and if there's a lot of structure, and that feels very soothing. Uh-huh. And then I started having an internal dialogue, and it's an older voice, which is unusual. My voices are usually quite young, and so this was more intellectual going, oh, you're just, you know, you're that's your conditioning, talking about your rule following voice. You should just try to follow, and just going back and forth, one, 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 one. And then I was like, wait a minute, and dropped it, and the bell rang. So it created that anxiety, you know, that creeped in to say, oh my gosh, you're going to struggle that feeling.
And are you hearing that it's all in you language? You this, you that?
You know, my people are very tricky.
Uh-huh.
And so they are tricky. Uh-huh. And so there was, one should.
Uh-huh. One sort of very high-minded.
Yes, one should. And so I'm sure it is a you. But it's using trickier language.
Mm-hmm. Well, and often, so the way you just reported it to us, it was all in you language.
Mm-hmm.
And so often it is doing those sort of tricky things behind the scenes to try to confuse us. You know, we often talk about it as stupid dust, sprinkling the... But when you said it out now, it was quite clear how... So even if that's not the language it's saying to you, you're getting the meaning. And when you said it out loud, you saw clearly what the meaning was, what it was conveying to you, and what the result is, what the effect is. Yeah. And not to miss that if we're always on one, that means we're always coming back. Again, you know, it's the theme of the morning, which is so great to see. Conditioning wants to turn it into a contest. you're never here. You're never here. You keep coming back to one. But wait a minute, every time I come back to one, that means I've come back. One is where I want to be.
Yeah. I just image sometimes it's coming up now too. There's a part of me that very much will get identified with getting to a point where there is no suffering, you know, so we'll be focused on some kind of an end game rather than process. And sometimes this image of sandpaper, you know, that the privilege I've been offered is to be sanded down into something very smooth. And how, you know, you gotta start with big grit paper.
20. Yeah. Metal scratching.
Yeah. But then eventually, you know, to make this, and, you know, I've been around some beautiful woodworking, and it almost you could sand until it disappears, you know?
Yeah.
There's always a little smoother and a little finer. So I don't know, that imagery helps me in that way of reframing that, you know, what's being offered is the sanding until there is the smooth on the way to disappearing, whatever that thing is. So. Yeah. And different parts of me, you know, at different times need the 20.
Yeah. Yeah. And, well, it's a good image. Like, well, suddenly, you know, I feel like we're on the 220, for, you know, that's a very fine grid, and it's moving along, and then look over and realize, oh my gosh, this section's never even been touched. Exactly. The big grid again. And, but can we do that playfully and joyfully? It's all just, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's so significant to me that when imagery comes up like that, that helps me to frame what we're doing as something like that, you know, as a gift, as art, as whatever it is, because in a moment that can transform my relationship with. It can even create appreciation for whatever suffering is there. Because like we're just saying, coming back to one, I mean, the point is if I'm in that place and I'm conscious, then there's movement.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love that image of it's art. It's it's an evolving process.
Yeah.
And, you know, for anyone who's worked with wood, it's such a... it's such a pleasure to do something like to sand it, because it's constantly changing.
Yeah.
And the different grain of the wood that's exposed in the different stages, and it's an honor. And it's one of those, I don't really want to be finished with it.
Exactly. And there is no really can be finish. You can't really, know.
No. It's amazing. Thank you. Todd.
I so appreciate the discussion about the privileged environment, and I haven't been to the monastery for about 8 months, and I'm just seeing how much goes under the radar in the other world, because it's very, very challenging, as best as we try as practitioners, to recreate the privileged environment for ourselves internally and to support ourselves, but just seeing how much the additional support, the ongoing support, with all the things that we do when we're not at the monastery to try to encourage and maintain that ability to see what conditioning is doing to us.
Yep.
And I, you know, the same story is amazing. I had this huge obsessive story 8 months ago when I first got to the monastery for that training period, and this one, it popped up within 10 minutes of arriving in the parking lot. And I go, there it is again. It's this huge obsessive thing. But the subtlety of it, it got more subtle. I kind of had some fun with it, because the first time it occurred, I took it really personally. And I got wrapped in it for a couple of days, and I finally had to write a note to the guest master and clear that. So I'm going to clear it in group today. But and I'm seeing that You know, for me, and there's a really small one involved as well, that possessions become personal and they represent self-worth.
Possessions become like physical
things. Like my car is really just the central thing, because it's a new, previously enjoyed car. And it's probably nice to say it's a used car. So,
it did take me a minute, but I got it.
So, and I enjoy it very much, and I have great gratitude that I have this ability to have this vehicle that gets me, you know, from Canada to the monastery back and forth. I mean, it's a good trek.
Yeah.
And it's and my other vehicle is really, really great too, but the obsessive thing is that if it's clean, there's self-worth attached to that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's tidy, if it doesn't have scratch marks, if it's, you know, and it reminds me of being very young, and my mother saying, oh, you're not going to wear those pants, those are for good. And I think we're going to church, and I'm going, well, I don't know how much more good it can get. How fancy are we going to go? You know, the royal coronation? I don't know. You know. And I remember saving all these things that never got used. Because there was self-worth attached to that. If it's still in its package, then it's valuable. But God forbid you take that toy out and play with it. You know.
Yeah, it's ruined.
Yeah, it's ruined. And of course, so I've got this whole obsessive thing that, you know, that myself, and I know that's just that condition as a small child, that self-worth is attached to some of my possession. I've seen that it's really personal, and I don't even know, you know. I was looking at the Salties because we're encouraged that we, you know, leave no trace and that we care for things. But where is conditioning coming in saying, but is that obsessive? I mean, do you sort of see where I'm pointing at that?
Yeah, well, I don't know if this is where you were going with it, but what I was hearing in that, you know, sometimes we'll talk about washing the car for the car.
Yeah.
Which is one experience. Washing the car for me.
Yes.
Because it says something about me.
Yes.
And who I am, and whatever, each, you know, what people will think of me, how I want to feel, I want to, whatever it is.
Right.
It's two completely different experiences.
Yeah. And that's only, I'm just wondering, you know, because I'm thinking, I would love to, there's a part of me that loved how it cleaned and tarped and preserved for the next couple of months while I'm here. Mm-hmm. Then there's another part of me that's going, but is conditioning doing it for me, or is it doing to protect the car? In a sense, does the car need that protection, though? I don't know. It's subtle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's like,
because
I find, is that ego doing it for ego?
Yeah.
And I don't want to support ego.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of the person we talked about earlier, that when I'm out there, every turn is supporting ego.
Yeah.
Yes. And there's suffering in all those supports.
Yes. Yeah, and even, it's interesting, because even in the process of what you're talking about, there again are those two places. So we talked about there's the place of I wash the car for me, or I wash the car for the car. And in the looking at the question, you know, am I going to wash my car and cover it to preserve it for this time, where am I in the process of that? Am I trying to figure out the right answer?
Yeah.
That's one experience.
Yeah.
Or am I looking at it in the spirit of inquiry, in the sense of, I'm a student of awareness. Everything I'm doing is in aid of ending suffering.
Yeah.
So again, those are two really different places to come from.
Yeah. And that's a really good point, because I was looking at also that little one in me. I just could reassure that little one. Mentor could come in, I could do a nice recording about it, and I could just leave it as is, and just tarp it dirty, and in 2 months wash it.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be fine too.
Mm-hmm.
That would be totally fine.
Yeah, that in that, it's like the what result, what answer, if you will, comes out of it is completely irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's like the meditation, like we started group.
Right.
Looking at my meditation practice, what's important is how I'm approaching that inquiry, because in that is everything.
Yes.
It's everything.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what life can offer us when we drop out of the trying to get it right or figure it out or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, all kinds of solutions or ideas or insights come out of that.
Yes. And for me, the prison of honor is so valuable to see those subtleties come up, where when I'm out there, so much gets past the radar of awareness and attention.
Yeah.
So much. And I go with a lot. I'm like, wow. I didn't realize, I hit the monster, and I'm going, holy crap. That was a conditioned ride for a while.
No, it's a great point, Todd, because, I mean, I can just wash my own darn car anytime I want.
Exactly.
Cover it, and I never, that conditioning around it is never mirrored.
Exactly. It's never exposed.
Yeah.
Never exposed. Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thank you. Sherry?
I look at that a lot. And I look at two things about it. Is it mine?
Mm-hmm.
And what's in front of me?
Oh.
Because I could spend more than the amount of hours I have in any day taking care of stuff. Just taking care of stuff. And so, of course, taking care of my stuff. You know, that's one thing. But then if I'm taking care of it like that, am I as concerned about taking care of all of it that doesn't have anybody who owns it? And then I can quickly get to, okay, that's not possible. And then what I've been practicing with recently is, well, what's in front of me?
Oh, that's great.
Because it's helping me take care of that need to take care of. Without needing to leave where I am to go take care of something that actually isn't here, even if it's just something that I would need to think about and so one of the things that we've been practicing with around here a lot is everything is the Buddha. And that's been really helpful for that, because if everything is the Buddha, then everything is equally valuable, it's all equally important, it's all worthy of all of the attention and awareness I have to bring to it. And I actually find comfort for myself in that. That it feels like instead of what has gone on with me is that sense of there's always more to do. There's never really getting to a place of rest because there's always more to do. To realize that's my domain. What is in front of me is what I can bring that care to.
It's very, very helpful. So because with expanded awareness comes an expanded awareness of what needs to be cared for and a desire to do that.
Yes.
And that's everything.
Yes.
And so what I hear in that is, how am I going to choose? Well, this is what's in front of me. So this is what needs the care.
Right. This is what life has chosen for me right now.
You know, when you said the part about, I can't remember how you said it, but it was, what I saw in it was, there's never any time for, you know, relaxation or downtime. I can't remember how you said it, but what I saw in that is, and sometimes this is the thing that life puts in front of me to care for.
Mm-hmm. I think God calls that sleep.
And there's really a sense of life's timing in that, isn't there? That one of the things I think is extraordinary about the way things get done at the monastery is that they get done on life's timeline. Not quick, finish it, but as this, it's time for this piece, and now it's this piece, and now it's this piece, and it doesn't necessarily follow conditioning's linear plan, but it always gets what needs to happen gets done.
I really appreciate the couple of things that came up in group today, and the two of them being, you know, to put it out there so that it's not in, that I'm not in relationship with conditioning, or this form's not in relationship with conditioned mind all the time. And I've noticed how I don't do that in group, and so I'm doing it.
Always a good plan.
And because it maintains a certain story. And the second thing that I was going to say that's also related to what I'm practicing with is the fact that the structure here mirrors the heart, and basically is not, it doesn't support ego. And it's such a, coming back to that acknowledgement of it is such a tremendous relief. and there are so many layers of it that I can practice with that I see.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my second TIMW from a very different place.
Uh-huh.
And
that's what we felt, that there is nothing wrong with your retreat. That's the initial book.
And it's the, that, you know, competency is something that my ego values, that ego values
the ego.
A lot.
Yeah.
And to have the privilege and the ability to practice not knowing over and over and over again in so many different ways is just such, I am so grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because as someone else was mentioning, it's the reverse that I get to practice.
Mm-hmm.
That in the roles that I play, that life calls me to play,
mm-hmm.
competency is what
uh-huh.
is celebrated.
Yep.
And I don't actually have the opportunity to practice something else.
Yeah.
And both of those are related in the sense of what practice has become,
mm-hmm.
which is, what is it that I need to practice? So practicing beginner's mind is the practice, or
mm-hmm.
practicing sharing in group is the practice.
Uh-huh.
Or practicing life orientation is the practice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, it's taking the conditionality out of it completely, right? So I practice means something else, or practice means, what does participation mean? Well, participation means presence.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not, it's that place of watching what conditioning would have something mean,
uh-huh.
and then practicing what it really means.
Uh-huh.
And to keep flipping in that moment of coming back to one,
mm-hmm.
of going, well, am I participating right now, or am I not?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And to have that awareness, constantly paying attention to what is the experience that I'm having in every single moment.
Yeah.
And this, the way it all comes together is, there's a life orientation, right? Life has an orientation which is completely opposite to conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
It's supportive.
Mm-hmm.
It is collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
It is non-separate.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't mean that I have to be competent and I have to do everything.
Right.
This place is mirrored as the place of non-separation, when
mm-hmm.
everything happens with through life,
mm-hmm.
with everyone playing the role.
Yeah.
And in this case, my role is, or what life's offering,
mm-hmm.
is the ability to practice not competency,
uh-huh.
but not knowing.
Right.
And it's just such a gorgeous dance.
Yes.
And
yeah.
so I'm really grateful for
yeah.
it.
Well put. I have nothing to add.
I am on my first day of retreat, and at about hour three of day one, I'm sitting
approximately,
yeah, give or take. Yeah, I was sitting outside enjoying beautiful surroundings and having a cup of tea after breakfast, a wonderful breakfast, and grateful for having space to be away. And I, in my life outside, I am always sort of obligated to keep take care of everyone else.
Mm.
And a funny thing happened as I was sitting enjoying my tea, is I heard everybody cleaning up for breakfast, and I thought, oh, I wonder when we're going to get a job. And now I understand why I'm so exhausted.
Yeah. That's the go-to place, isn't it?
Yeah, the noise inside my head starts. I got to have a job.
Gotta
I got to start. Can I help? Can I just
yeah.
let go?
Mm.
So, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And what, let's see, what a willingness to receive that. To really be able to, so there you are, enjoying the beauty of your surroundings and the quiet, and to watch that process, that immediate, conditioning doesn't want you to stay there again, like we've been looking at all morning. And so it sounds like the go-to place is, okay,
get busy.
Well,
and it's interesting too, as you say, is enjoying the quiet, and then the reality is it really wasn't quiet.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, if I'm working to try to quiet these noises inside my head,
yeah, no wonder
I'm
going to
be exhausted.
Yeah.
Exactly. So,
but just the willingness to bring to it. Okay, great. So I'm going to receive that this week,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And really see that. I mean, that's probably going to be something you're going to work with all week long.
Exactly.
Is that constant? It's going to be looking for ways to do things.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to do.
Right.
Thank you.
Melissa.
I've been looking at what my awareness includes and doesn't include, and I will be very visually dialed in, and I'll think that I'm here and paying attention because I'm really seeing. And then all of a sudden, there'll be a pause, and all of a sudden the audio channel will come in. and I'll hear the bird song and crickets, and all of a sudden I'll realize what I've been missing, that there's actually been two simultaneous things happening, and for the first time, what's opening up is this just small sense of having missed something, of wanting more to be here, to take what's here, and what was going on otherwise in the audio channel. It used to be that that was more interesting. And now it feels more and more like, wait a second, I just missed something that was here that was really beautiful. And so my awareness of what there is to be aware of is expanding.
Yeah, and then it sounds like there's motivation to practice expanding that just because you want to, because you want to be present to more of life, not because you should or it's the right thing to do.
It's more a sense of delight.
And what a much better motivator that is, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
That sense of delight and wanting to be here for it, instead of, well, I'm an awareness student and that's what you're supposed to do. And you know, it's interesting, Melissa, because I project where that delight, that motivation comes from, is having been present. And when we are present, we experience the wonder of that and how lovely it feels to be there. And so we want more of that. It builds on itself.
It certainly seems to be. Okay, I've got the audio. Maybe visual. Maybe we'll add in the audio. Maybe smell. Thank you.
Stephen.
Maybe this is a good time to talk about this. I never married, and so I don't have a wife and family that are imposing obligations on me. And I've always tried to keep my life from getting caught up in all the busyness and speed that's out there, because that always didn't feel good to me, and I was not comfortable with it. So I've kept my life pretty simple, and the number of obligations from the outside I've tried to minimize. But beginning of this year, I decided that I wanted to try a little web design business, and it turned out to be ill-conceived, because what I figured out was that I couldn't really do that as just one person, because I needed other people to do things. So for a few months there, I was really going crazy and just working 12 and 14 hours a day, and had a lot of obstacles and frustrations. And along about the beginning of March, I had just had enough, and I just felt like, I can't do this. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm sick of this. It's not working. I'm not going to do this anymore. My heart's not in it. It's not really what I want to do. The only reason I'm doing it is because I've got these skills, and it's the only way that I know to make a quote, decent living. Uh-huh. But I decided that, no, I really don't want to do that. I want to do something that has more direct bearing on, for me anyway, helping other beings. And so I just stopped doing the business, and I thought, okay, I don't know what's next, but I'm okay with just sitting here and not doing much of anything. But then the few things that there were to do were things like opening the mail and keeping the accounts and paying the bills and stuff like that. And I just had this great resistance to just to doing that because it's just, I just don't like to do it. And so weeks went by, and I thought, okay, if I just sit here long enough, it will occur to me what the next step is and what I really want to do. But, you know, 5 or 6 weeks went by, and nothing was coming up. And then I started looking more closely at what was going on, and I discovered was that this, because I started looking for subpersonalities, which is not something that I've really done before and don't really know how to, I don't really know how to do it. Mm-hmm. But I thought this, you know, this subpersonality that was driving me to work 12 and 14 hour days, I called him the taskmaster. He knew what to do. He was on top of everything. He was trying to do everything perfectly. He was compulsive about detail, which you almost have to be in order to be successful in that kind of work. So that work was also feeding into my obsessive compulsive tendencies, which are not necessarily serving me. But then I discovered that the reason that I didn't know what to do is because there was this little child in there that had gotten so confused when it was little because of inconsistency from the parental directives, mm-hmm. and my mother never being, couldn't please her no matter what I did. She was never going to be pleased, but this little child couldn't reason that out, and so it just got so confused that it didn't know how to move in any direction. And so that's what I discovered, that I was stuck there, and I really got pretty depressed about it for a while. But you know, and I feel better now. But I'd like to learn some techniques, and while I'm here, if possible, to deal with that kind of situation.
I think we can arrange it. You actually brilliantly laid out for us what the retreat truly is for. I do that, and I'm sure if everyone doesn't already have their version of what you just said at the forefront of their mind, they'll be finding it. That's what we'll be working with all week. Thank you. That's our time. Thank you all.